Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoors, the official podcast of Living the Dream Outdoor Properties. We live by the motto, it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. And we live the outdoor lifestyle every day. Whether you're a landowner or dreaming of joining the ranks of those closest to the earth, we're your brothers and sisters of the outdoors. We hunt, we fish, we're stewards of the land. And our Living the Dream team will show you the way to enjoying the land and all the outdoor pursuits it has to offer. Here's your host, Bill Cooper.
Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Cooper, and I'm down at Nashville, Tennessee, at the National Wild Turkey Federation Annual Convention. And I think this number 50.
Number 50.
I got a couple of special guests here. So glad. These guys are laughing and smiling. They're having a good time already. I've got Sheldon Lovelace and Paul Buskey, and they're with GSM Outdoors. Now, don't you guys get to thinking you're my boss, okay? I work for GSM Outdoors, too. I ride for Drury's DeerCast, phone app. Been doing that almost since they started it, and GSM bought them out, I guess.
Yep.
And I didn't know too much about it till a paycheck came from a different source. I said, great, man, I'm making some more money, you know.
There you
then
go.
Somebody finally told there me, no, you're not making any more than you did. You're just getting a check from a different place. But, Paul, you've been around the turkey hunting industry forever.
Yes, sir.
It seems I don't think you're as old as me, but.
I'm 72.
I got you beat by a little bit. I'm 76. But we grew up in the same time frame. Mm-hmm. And funny story, I got inducted into the Legend of the Outdoors National Hall of Fame in 24. And the little speech I had to do, Bill Jordan got inducted, Will Primos at the same time. I couldn't imagine why those guys hadn't been inducted 20 years ago. Well, Gary Mason, the owner, said, well, you have to show up. Those guys were too busy to show up, you know, to get inducted.
That's quite an honor.
It really was. I was just flabbergasted. I think Ray I had something to do with that, too. But in my little speech I had to give, you know, I'm calling their names. I said, you know, I thought sure you guys were my childhood heroes, but we're the same age. But Sheldon, what do you do for GSM?
I'm the Senior Vice President of Strategy and Sourcing, and I manage our overseas operations.
Oh, wow.
So, like Paul, I've been turkey hunting with Paul and old guys like Billy McCoy back in the day. So I've been turkey hunting about 30 years.
Really? Well, hey, it's always fun to be around a bunch of turkey hunters, you know.
No doubt.
And you got to know that you got to be a bigger liar than the other guys.
You know? Where you at?
that was Alex Rutledge called me.
Oh,
I'm
going to
get him on the podcast, too. You're going to have to work your turn, Alex.
Be careful.
What number are you?
Hey, we're right in the middle of a podcast, man. I'm gonna hold you off here just a little bit. Oh, no problem, man. I got Paul Buskey sitting here and Sheldon Lovelace.
Paul Buskey, one of the greatest scholars ever.
Thanks, Alex. I'll pay you later.
Yeah, that's not what he said about you.
Pay me later.
Yeah. All right, I'll catch up with you in a little bit. Yep. Hey, there you go, man. It's going hot and heavy here at the NWTF convention. I'm running around getting all these celebrity types. And having a great time at it. Do every year.
Mm-hmm.
But, Paul, I'd like to run through your turkey hunting history just, hey, briefly. We haven't got, how many decades?
Hey, there's no lot. Started in the late 60s, actually. It started off fall turkey hunting back in New York.
You started fall turkey hunting?
Oh, yeah. They didn't have a spring season yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My uncle had taken me out, and my father was he was more of a fisherman, but I had an uncle that was really into hunting. He got me started in taking me turkey hunting, and then it evolved to what it is. So starting back in the late 60s and still doing, still kicking, man.
Hey, that's awesome. That's probably what helped you hang on to your youth a little bit.
No doubt about it.
Hey, I'm
chasing them turkeys.
I've preached that gospel my entire life and still fighting some of the same battles, you know, trying to get people into the outdoors. Back to some of these living a dream, these young smart aleck guys, you know. We were riding over here this morning, and one of them says, Bill, Are you actually hunting and fishing as much as you're posting on social media? I said, well, I'll fess up. Some of that stuff you're looking at is probably 40 years old, you know.
Yeah.
But I live 5 minutes from the Merrimack River and the Missouri Ozarks. I can get there with a kayak, a canoe, a jet boat, and even wade fish sometimes. And if I don't get out there every second or third day, I'm having withdrawals, man.
As you should.
Yeah.
As you should.
You're exactly right, Sheldon.
Still.
The thing is, my wife encourages me to get out there anyway, get out of the house, you know, get out from under her feet. But after that first fall turkey season, what'd you think?
Oh, man, it was hard. It was tough back then. I mean, you didn't have the turkey population. It kind of expanded as, you know, you got through the, you know, in the 70s and then the 80s. It really exploded up in that neck of the woods where I hunt. And, you know, then you got early on probably in the mid-70s, so really got involved in the calling aspect of it, turkey calling, you know what I mean? And then it became a passion. A good friend of mine, Ernie Calandrelli, got me to go to a turkey calling contest back in 1978. And it was just, that lit the fire. And me and Ernie traveled everywhere chasing turkeys. That's where I met Ray. You know, Ray actually stayed at my house at the 1980 Turkey Federation Convention in Niagara Falls. And, you know, turkey hunting is a brotherhood, man. You get lifelong friends. And
absolutely.
You know, Sheldon, I mean, we've known each other forever. And it's all based on that fundamental turkey hunting passion that we've all had. So.
Oh, absolutely. Ray, I still remember. Of course, Ray's told me a million stories in the last five decades, and you know, they kind of rumble around in my head. But you mentioned New York. The first thing I was thinking of, Ray did a hunt up there probably with you decades ago. And, you know, all the rock walls around your field.
Oh, yeah. In eastern New York, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Ray was wearing tans and greens and browns and that sort of stuff. He backed up against one of those rock walls and killed a turkey. Of course, you know how we do. Take 1,000 pictures of that poor turkey and try to promote everything all we can. Ray said, man, things just blew up when I got home. Everybody's wanting to know where to get that rock wall camo.
That's Ray.
That's Ray, isn't it?
That's him, right?
Well, Sheldon, where did your turkey hunting experience start?
Oh, wow. I'm originally from Kentucky, grew up in the farming community there in western Kentucky. So when I graduated college from the University of Kentucky, I moved to Alabama. And in 1987, I killed my first turkey. And I actually got the calls from a mutual friend of ours, Billy McCoy.
Yeah.
Taught me how to run mouth calls and things like that. And I'm telling you, first time I ever went out and killed a long beard, and I've been hooked ever since. And pardon the pun, but it's nothing like Paul said, when we walk around this room and just the history and the people that I met since 1987, it's been actually amazing. They're friends of mine for life.
Yeah, for sure. And I know you guys go through the same mental process I do. You walk around this floor here at NWTF, and you see somebody that, from 30, 40. Now, me, I'm looking at people from 50 years plus ago, you know.
I know.
And I grew up right across the river from you, Mississippi County, Missouri.
Oh, no.
Down the Boot Hill, Missouri.
Oh,
I was raised on a cotton farm. I'm an old cotton picker.
There you go.
Picked by hand, man.
Yes, sir.
That's why I got a hump in my back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I sure did. But you know the story down there. A deer, a wild turkey, wasn't any such thing.
I can remember
being in an old country store one time.
Yeah.
Brother Bennett's store, we called him. Everybody sat around, play checkers, whatever, spit tobacco on the floor, you know, that sort of thing. And a guy come in just all excited. He'd found a deer track on an island out in the Mississippi River.
That's true.
And, man, it made the newspaper and everything. A deer track.
That's crazy.
And I never saw a deer or wild turkey till I was well up in high school making a school trip to Jefferson City, Missouri. And in that one trip, saw a deer and a turkey both. At that moment, I decided I was heading to the hills.
No doubt.
And I, in my lifetime, brag on our Missouri Department of Conservation a little bit. In my lifetime, I've seen the wild turkey and the deer come back. And, man, we're so fortunate in the state of Missouri. We have that 1/8 of 1% sales tax. Some people fuss about it, but it costs me maybe $50 a year. Tremendous outdoor recreation facilities, great hunting and fishing. And tickle pink. Hey, if you've never been to Missouri, you need to come visit us.
Some of the best turkey hunting in my life, all through Missouri. I used to hunt with Ray at the media hunts and stuff like that. And now, Mark Drury, I hunt there every year. We do Missouri and Iowa, if you could draw it in Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, and it's that's still my favorite place to hunt.
I could write a book about turkey hunting with Ray. I'm sitting with him one time because he's so particular. I'm a lousy caller, but I've killed 107 turkeys. I'm a testament to the fact there's a lot of dumb turkeys out there. You just got to find them. But I was sitting in the woods with Ray one time. I thought he was sick. Every little bit he was spitting, you know. I turned my head. He'd made a bunch of calls, and you know how he is.
Yep.
He put that call in his mouth, he yapped a couple times. He didn't like it. He'd spit it out. Well, he got up and walked off, got ahead of me. I went over, I'm picking all the calls up, putting them in my pockets, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Me and Ray went to Hawaii together with John.
Yeah.
Me and Ray went on a submarine.
You're kidding.
No, we went on a submarine.
You should have left him there.
No, then I would have been left behind, too, because we went in. We went down and under. It was pretty cool.
Oh, wow. I bet so. Well, you guys now both work with the GSM?
Yes, sir.
How long you been with them, Bob?
You know, I started with GSM a few years ago, and then I came back about 3 years ago. So, overall, I've worked with GSM about 8 years.
About 8 years. What do you do for them, Paul?
I'm a sales manager. I handle the northeast part of the
country. Oh, so you're pretty face.
Yeah, I'm just good looking. That's all. I've been there 18 years.
18 years.
2007.
Wow. Pretty incredible. Well, I know you got a huge booth over here not too far from us. All kinds of outdoor products. I got my muddy t-shirt with me.
There you go.
Somewhere in my clothes bag. But gosh, I picked up so many products writing for Drury's DeerCast program. The phone app, I do articles for that thing, and they'll usually run one picture with the article, so I have to have a lot of those GSM products, you know. But you guys are very gracious to us to helping us out. And I understand with all the things that you've got on, you got a pretty fantastic turkey vest.
Oh, it is awesome.
Now, is this a brand new project?
Brand new. We've been working on it. It actually started last year.
We brought it to life. We're really blessed to have, Mark and Paul and so many great hunters with our team. So it's something that we brought together with Fred Zink and with Dave and Exton. And so we brought together just getting all those master hunters together. We wanted to design something that all the guys in this room would truly appreciate.
Oh, I bet so. You get that many years of experience, you know. They've all got ideas. Some of them are pretty strong about their ideas, you know.
Yeah.
And I've drugged so many vests and things around, but hey, I was an Army officer, did a little time in Vietnam and Cambodia. Mm. I know about carrying stuff, you know, and learned the boy go lightweight and all that.
Lightweight and comfort. You got to be comfortable.
Oh, absolutely. That's particularly right. When you're going into your second childhood, you know, comfort is a major, major thing. And you can remember today, Paul, we all go through that phase. I felt like the time that back in the military, I was carrying so many calls and shells and this and that with me, you know. But, boy, in my old age, I've whittled her back down. Well, tell me about this vest. What's so great about it?
Well, first off, I'm a diehard mouth call user. But when I'm turkey hunting, I always carry a box call. I always carry a slate call. And just because whatever catches that gobbler's ear, that might make the difference that particular morning. Sometimes your mouth call isn't working right for you. You know what I mean? You switch up to a box and a little different pitch, a little different tone, makes all the difference in the world. And just the comfort of this vest being up front and the accessibility to the calls are phenomenal. But to me, the key to it is the seat, the comfort of the seat. The seat is so comfortable. And just the way it you got access to it to flip it up. And because, you know, you could sit there, it could be 5 minutes, it could be 2 hours before that, you know, and you got to be comfortable because that movement factor, turkeys pick up on that movement. If you're uncomfortable and squirming around, so you make sure you got a good, comfortable seat. And this vest has got it. And it's lightweight and fits great.
Very important. And you know yourself, being able to stick with it for a little bit longer.
That's right.
How many turkeys have died because of that?
That's right.
There's no doubt. That's for sure.
Hey, and I've used them all, I guess, over the decades, and I do like a good, comfortable seat. And, of course, we know back up against that good tree, get a little back support there, and then you get a good soft cushion on your bottom or even on your back. So I used to actually put a pillow in some of them. Mm-hmm. They had the big old game pouch on them, you know, just get some lower back support.
You need it against that rock wall if Ray's with you.
Hey, you're not going to believe this, but first thing I turkey hunted was in my OD greens, the military, but I was given one set of tiger stripe camo that indigenous people, the South Vietnamese, used that a lot.
Okay.
Great, great camo. Wish I could get it yet today. But I came home. We had a turkey hunter in St. James, Missouri there by the name of Lyle Staub. He was just a local guy, quite a character, a big, tall boy, about 6'4". He quit turkey hunting. I said, Lyle, have you lost your mind? He said, man, when it gets so easy, there's no challenge to it.
Oh, wow.
I said, somebody drop a rock on your head or what?
Yeah,
you know?
Really.
But that's the truth.
He made his own turkey calls, just beautiful things. He actually used in his original slate calls, he'd go to the old schools around and bust up the chalkboards, you know.
Yep.
Well, I walk in one day and he had a turkey call. The pot was like bigger than a softball, you know, and he had a peg. It almost took two hands. You know?
Right.
And he run an old rundown dumpy gas station. You know, of course, that's where we all went to get our gas because we wanted to hear Lyle tell stories. But I said, oh, you're going to tell me that's for the monster turkeys, huh? He said, no, that's a pig call. I said, what? He held that slate against his stomach and gripped that big old stick, grunting just like a pig.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, what do you guys think about 50th anniversary of National Wild Turkey Federation?
Great. It's great to be here. You know, I'm even just walking in this morning, you see all your old friends and the excitement. I mean, I think the buzz of the show is going to be amazing this week. We got great weather here in Nashville. And so, you know, like I said, just the history, and it's going to be a wonderful event this week.
Really is.
That means a lot. You know, it really does. That's a milestone. And, you know, just to be part of it. And, you know, we got this vest like we were talking about, and we've got a limited edition series, and just to have it here, and there's other people that have 50th anniversary stuff. It's really cool, and it's collectible stuff, and the Turkey Federation itself has been a way of life for me for so many years, and I'm just so proud to be a part of it.
Absolutely, and you've been around long enough, you've seen NWTF for the whole 50 years, just like I have. 50 years ago, would you have ever dreamed that the NWTF and turkey hunting was going to be what it is today?
No way. I'll tell you, I diaphragm, diehard mouth call user, me and Rob Keck always talked, and he says, where this turkey call has taken us. And in 50 years, you know, that it's created a way of life for me in Sheldon. It's got me on stage of the Grand Old Opry, and it's amazing when you think about just what that little mouth call has taken you, and just to be able to share with other people and be a part of this is awesome.
Absolutely. Well, you guys sitting here in all your wisdom, you're probably going to get asked 1,000 times in the next 3 days. People going to walk up to you and say, what's the best turkey hunting tip you can give me?
I go with Paul.
You go with Paul. I love it.
That's funny.
Don't guide the guide. We talked about that last night.
Go with Paul. All right. You know how many people are going to request to go turkey hunt with you now after you hear that show?
I enjoy it. That's all part of it. You know, to me, that's the most fun of it all, is just to expose people to something that you love, because once somebody experiences a turkey hunt done the right way, they're hooked for life. And you know, getting kids involved and you know, being able to pass on this tradition so it keeps going and for generations and generations. That's what it's all about.
It really has. I've been so fortunate. I actually ran a hunter apprentice school for the Missouri State chapter of the National Wild Turkey Federation for 17 years, run hundreds of kids through that program. It was a 3-day program. They actually got to go on a hunt as a grand finale. You know, and I've never dreamed things would explode for me the way they have. And I've not been in the industry like you guys. I've just been an outdoor communicator telling your story, you know, and your story. I did a career with UPS, and all my buddies at UPS used to just rag me. Said, Cooper, you think you know everything about the outdoors? I said, no, I don't, but I know the guys that do.
There you go.
I tell their story.
That's it.
That's how have made my little business in this career, been so fortunate and so blessed. And I actually had a gentleman from Mexico call me one time, read some of my turkey hunt material, but he was a duck hunting outfitter. Mm-hmm. Invited me down to a little PR farm. He introduced me to somebody to take me fly fishing for tarpon, and that gentleman worked for one of the Campeche State Tourism Commission, and he hooked me up with them. And I ran, they called me a tourism consultant, and all I did was run rider trips. Ray, I was one of the first people I took to Mexico.
That's awesome.
And he lost my boots for me.
Oh, goodness.
I had a brand new pair of redhead boots, and we were sitting in one of those jungle blinds, and it's hot and almost too hot to turkey hunt. And he said, he whispered to me, we'd had a Mexican guide who hadn't said a word in English, and Ray said, you know, if he gets you a turkey, you ought to give him them boots. I said, I'll give him my boots if he gets me a turkey. 10 minutes later, well, when I said, I'll give him my boots, the Mexican fella spoke up and said, okay. He understood everything we were saying. 10 minutes later, I'm taking my boots off. I walked out there barefooted.
That's a good trade, though. That's a good trade.
You're right. He's trying to make me feel bad.
Yeah, yes, sir.
But what a great time. Man, it's just a pleasure to have you guys on the program.
Honor.
Appreciate you taking your time because I know you're busy. But, hey, one more turkey tip. Go on with Paul. Oh, come on.
Well, my turkey tip, you know, just be patient.
That's right.
I learned from Doug Camp, you know, hey, just sit and wait a little bit longer and call a little bit less.
Gentlemen, yeah. I can tell you've been around a turkey hunting world. Two of the finest tips you could ever get. Be patient and go with Paul Buskey.
What else you need to do?
Hey, folks, don't go away. We're going to take a short break here, but we'll be right back with more of Living the Dream Outdoors podcast.
Our forefathers gave us a Bill of Rights. One of those is the right to step in the front door of Pond Center, where the faint sound of eagles screeching from on high a bounding purple mountain's majesty browse the walls full of glorious firearms. It's hard not to shed a patriotic tear as your red, white, and blue blood becomes fortified by the sight of true freedom. Pond Center, located at 408 Highway 72 East in Rolla, Missouri. Or give us a call at 573-426-GUNS.
Hey everyone, this is Michael Collins with Misty Mountains Guiding Service. I'm here to talk to you a little bit about what we offer. Misty Mountains is a smallmouth and trout-specific guiding service that caters to the northern Ozarks region. My areas include the Upper Merrimack River, the Gasconade, and a few smaller creeks in the Mid-Missouri area. Whether you enjoy casting streamers to bass, drifting a dry fly, or ripping lips with spinning gear, I've got you covered. Fishing is made easy in my state-of-the-art drift boat raft. I control the boat with ease while you or yourself and a buddy do all the work at catching fish. Besides a great day on the water, I provide all needed gear, a delicious shore lunch, and as much fishing knowledge as you can carry with you on the way home. Spots for the 2024 season are going fast. Give me a call or text today to get your trip booked. My number is 573-823-9057. Find me on Facebook and Instagram at Misty Mountains Guiding Service. It's always an adventure with Misty Mountains.
This is Dan from the White Buffalo Fly Shop, your gateway to Missouri's blue ribbon trout streams and world-class smallmouth water. Whether you're headed to Mill Creek, the Kern, or the Gasconade, we've got the flies, the gear, and the local know-how to help you fish with confidence. If you're looking to sharpen your casting skills, join one of our hands-on clinics. Or if you'd like to craft your own fly rod, build it with us in one of our rod building courses. You're always welcome in our fly tying nights to swap stories, share patterns, and get the latest hatch reports. White Buffalo Fly Shop is more than just a place to gear up. It's a hub for our local community. You'll find us at 605 North Pine Street in Rolla or online at whitebuffaloflyshop.com.
Welcome back to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I'm Bill Cooper in Nashville, Tennessee at the National Wild Turkey Federation 50th Annual Convention. Got a young man here with me. His name is Kenny Zuspan. He's with the First Class Whitetails of Ohio. And Kenny, I saw you hanging out with Alex Rutledge.
Oh, yeah. Alex has been coming to our camp last few years holding turkey hunts, and me and him went to South Dakota together and got his first Merriam. We went to Mexico and got a Golds together.
Wow. Well, I didn't know Alex had even been to Mexico. I've known Alex for decades. We've turkey hunted together over the years. I kind of flabbergasted him one time. We were fall turkey hunting. I pulled out a duck whistle, You know, 7-1 things, you get all kinds of sounds out of them, but you can also get a mighty fine kiki out of them.
Right?
Yeah, just a duck whistle. We actually kind of co-authored an article for Turkey Call in WTF Magazine about that duck whistle. You know, it was a pretty cool deal. Well, I'm glad to hear you hooked up with Alex. I think an awful lot of Alex. I rib him a lot. You know, he's got a podcast as well. I just over at the booth, and I was telling the young ladies, yeah, he's my competition.
Not
much competition.
We've been on Alex's show several times. You know, it's nice growing up watching the Hunter Specialties, watching Alex all the years as a kid. And then I met him here about 5 years ago, and we hit it off. And he's been coming hunt with us ever since, and I've been traveling with him. And, yeah, we've become really good friends.
Well, awesome. You can make worse friends. Well, Alex, hey, he's been responsible for the death of a lot of deer and turkey both over the years, and he's like me, he's getting a little bit older. But, boy, we're still trying to go strong. We're going to go out strong, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Enjoy every bit of it while we can.
Oh, and there's nothing better than a fine turkey hunt, you know that. And you mentioned Mexico. I've been working down in Yucatan in Mexico for about the last 15 years. I've never been in a region where I could kill ghouls, but the oscillated, yeah, I work on those pretty hard.
Yep, that was our first experience. We went together with Richard Kraft, and we all killed birds this year. Alex actually missed a couple birds.
Really?
And then he finally got to kill one, so we'll let him tell those stories.
That might come up in a later conversation.
Yep.
Well, you've got a deal going on. It's called the World Tag Team Turkey Hunting Championship. What's that all about?
Yep, so we used to hunt in some hunts like this over the years, and we enjoyed it. And a lot of the guys wanted me to put it on. So we live right on the Ohio River. So we got a lot of farms in West Virginia and Ohio. So we bring in 25 teams that come into our lodge, and for the season opener in West Virginia, they'll come in on the 19th, and we will draw randomly our farms. And we'll have a big ceremony to kick off the thing. Everyone draws their farms, we eat good, and then they go out, scout, put their birds to bed. Then they get to hunt 3 days in West Virginia, the first opening 3 days as a team, killing two birds apiece. And once you kill your bird, you have to have the video. Like, you kill the bird, you got your phone out, flopping bird, you're in the video, you know, it shows where you're at, so we know everything's going right, and we're on a group text, everyone's together. They bring their birds back to the lodge, and we have one score that scores all the birds together when everyone's back. So we have a lunch together. We score the birds. NWTF scoring, except we only do one beard instead of multiple beards. Mm-hmm. And then it goes on the scoreboard. And then on Thursday, we'll have a morning that they can take off because Ohio season does not come in until Saturday. So on Thursday, they'll get up, eat, and we will draw our Ohio farms. And then they got Friday to scout. And then they get to kill one bird apiece in Ohio.
Yeah. Well, sounds like a pretty challenging event.
Oh, it's grueling because you're not there just to enjoy. I mean, you're enjoying turkey hunting, but there's no taking the time off. You're in there trying to kill birds, and last year we killed 58 birds in 5 days.
Wow, that kind of speaks for itself. I love your flyer you got here. It says right on the flyer, this is not a fun hunt. This is a true championship format built on skill, strategy, and execution. Well, who comes to this event? I mean, you've had this event before, or was this the first one?
So last year was our first time that I held it. We had 15 teams. We had teams from Pennsylvania, Vermont, Florida, Alabama, Arkansas, Missouri, Kentucky. The titles last year, we paid $30,000 cash to win. First place went to Mississippi. Second place team went to Pennsylvania. Third place went to Arkansas. And fourth place went to Alabama.
Wow.
So we had such a good time and such a positive feedback that we decided, okay, let's up it and make it bigger. So we took it to 25 teams this year. And we picked up more farms for it, and we upped it to where it's first place $50,000 cash, second place is $25,000, third place $20,000, fourth place is $10,000, and fifth place $7,500.
Well, wow, I've got a nice oscillated turkey mount in my living room at home. I'd give that to you for $50,000. So who comes to this? I mean, is it all professional type turkey hunters, or can just anybody enter that gets a team up?
No one here is what I call professional. It's all just good old boys that want to come in and do it. One of the big, like Quest Haven Lodge in Pennsylvania, is a big high fence ranch that it seems well known, and they have several teams, the Walk Boys and the Quest Haven. All the other teams are pretty much just two buddies that want to go on a vacation, enjoy a week chasing birds in two states.
What, now that sounds like a blast to me, and I can imagine the competition that takes place there. But you had quite a few states represented last year.
Yes, we had a lot of states represented. This year we picked up a team from, let's see, this year so far we just picked up a new team from Michigan, and we picked up a new team from South Carolina, and everything else is, and a new team from New York so far. And out of the 15 teams, 13 of the 15 rebooked. The ones that didn't rebook had a good time, but they said they had never chased mountain easterns before, and they wanted to learn how to chase these birds before they came back, and they was going to come back for redemption.
Well, now there's your challenge. You've turkey hunted different places. I have too. You know that eastern tom is the hardest to put on the ground. They are tough, tough birds.
Absolutely, and you got to play the game. I mean, sometimes you can get it done right off the limb at 7:15. Sometimes you don't get them to strike up until 8:30, and other times at 11 o'clock you finally get one rolling in looking for it. So there's several different strategies you get to play throughout the morning.
Well, boy, I've killed 107 turkeys in my lifetime. There's very few of them been killed right off of the limb. You know, I probably count on one hand the time that that's happened. And I had a situation like that last year. I'd gone through some chemo treatment. I was pretty weak, almost didn't even go turkey hunt. But I couldn't miss turkey season. Uh-huh. So I went out and put up a blind couple of weeks ahead of time. And I deal with a company called Cowtown USA close to me. And they sell UTVs, boats, all that stuff. But they'll always gladly loan me a UTV to use in turkey season or deer season. So I went and got a UTV. Opening morning, drove that thing within 40 yards of my blind in the pitch dark. Hobbled over to the blind, sat down, sipping my coffee, just that little first peek of light. Give us all some hymn yet. And three gobblers gobbled not 75 yards in front of me, man. I said, good Lord sent that one, you know.
Nothing like it.
Of course, forced two off the limb, took off like their tails were on fire, you know. But one gobbler just kind of hopped off down over the side of the ridge to the west. And I just called a couple more times. He never gobbled again, but he walked right in there. Boy, that was a gimme for sure. But the excitement of turkey hunting, particularly now the country you're in, is that hilly terrain?
It is. I mean, it's a little steeper in West Virginia in places than it is Ohio.
Oh, you're hunting mountain gobblers then.
Oh, it's not. I mean, it's not flatlands, but it's not mountain. I mean, it's right. Rolling Appalachian hills.
Ah, there you go. Well, kind of like our old Ark Hills, I guess, but you know that running up and down the hills can get tough sometimes.
Yep.
You know, my younger days, I could hear a turkey gobble a mile away, and I'd double time over there and try to close the distance. Now I slowly walk half the distance, and I sit down, and I call if a turkey wants to come, that's fine. If he don't, that's fine too. But what, all these guys from all across the country then, did you get any lady hunters come along, or is it all guys?
We did not have any lady hunters this year.
I'm on sick them on it this year.
we've had in other competitions, husband and wives that I've seen in it and come, and but we didn't have any females in our first one, so, and we don't have any females yet signed up for our second. We had this completely booked up, and then of course six of the new teams partners had something come up or whatever, and they couldn't send a deposit and didn't want to come, so we had six spots available. I think I filled two of them yesterday. They're supposed to be sending deposits, so that means we still got four spots to fill, and yeah, I know that they'll fill.
Well, these guys must be pretty confident hunters. I see the answer is pretty, like $7,500, so guys spending that kind of money, they evidently got some confidence in their skills.
Well, it's $7,500 a team, but you get 5 days of hunting, six birds total per team. You're hunting two states, you're getting seven nights of lodging, and you're eating some of the best ribeyes you ever ate at our lodge.
Well, that's just not too bad a deal then.
Right.
And then you got a chance at winning first place $50,000, second place $25,000, third place $20,000, fourth place $10,000, fifth place $7,500. shoot, I'd take fifth place.
Absolutely. I mean, it's paid for your free trip to come enjoy a competition. And then we have other ways to win. We do a lot of side pot stuff. We do like the longest spur, heaviest overall bird, longest beard. We give away several, you know, $1,000 or shotguns and different prizes last year for that.
Wow. It sounds like everybody could just about be a winner.
Well, if you get to come spend 5 days hunting two states, you're a winner regardless.
Oh, and absolutely. And if you know how it is, for going into a new area, it's a whole new show, a whole new drama. The excitement level goes up. And of course, there's a bit of nervousness that goes with that too, particularly when you go into a new area. And if you're hunting a new species, man, the challenge is just on. And I've got enough experience. I almost go into a deal like that expecting to be defeated.
Well, and if you are defeated, I've realized, because I've been in them shoes, it does nothing but makes the desire for next year. Like, you're strategizing, like, we're coming back because we got it a little more figured out.
Well, the mindset of turkey hunters is, hey, we thrive on mistakes. You make a mistake, you make a note of it. Of course, I've laid awake many a night analyzing what I did wrong, you know, and I have chased the same gobbler sometimes for 2 or 3 years, and some of them I never got them killed. But boy, the ones that you do get killed after you chased them for 2 or 3 years, now there is a great feeling of satisfaction.
Yo, there's nothing like having history with a bird or with a buck that puts the story together.
Huh? It really does. Now, I gotta ask you, any outdoor riders come to this camp?
I haven't had any outdoor riders to it.
Oh, you need to invite some.
Now, we've had, like, deer hunting. We've had buck commanders, Tombo Martin. We got MMA fighter Tim Sylvia, NASCAR driver Ryan Newman. He's become good friends with us. So we've had several TV shows that's come in. Jeff Klump with Whitetail Edge has come in. So it's – and we've only been doing this. This is our – we've been here 3 years. This is our fourth year.
Wow. Well, I'd say that's a pretty good success story if you've already had TV crews in there and that sort of thing. But – you know, hard copy is still pretty as old timers. We still like to pick up something we can read. And, of course, the online presence is just incredible anymore. But, hey, there's a long list of riders that would show up if you would invite them. Of course, you don't get overrun by them. But if you would ever get to that place, check with, like, the Outdoor Riders Association of America, the Association of Great Lakes Outdoor Riders, the Southeastern Outdoor Press Association, and POMA, that's a Professional Outdoor Media Association. And, boy, you could get some top-notch riders in the country to come in. And those guys, most of them anymore, they're not just writing hard copy articles, but they're also got a social media presence.
Yep. Know?
Just another way to spread the word.
And we offer a first-class turkey hunt. If you want to come into our turkey season, hunt Ohio, hunt West Virginia, hunt both states, we've got an electric side-by-side that we take in, and we can get you right into where we need to be. And we got a lot of different farms that we can bounce around on to find goblin birds and get in set up on. So we offer more than just a competition. We have some really good hunting camps.
Well, it sounds like it. And this is all taking place on private properties.
All on private property.
So as a competitor, you really don't have to worry about somebody else coming in on you.
That's correct.
Boy, that makes it sweet.
Yep, and it's... So what we do in this competition, we give everyone, we try to make fair packets for them to draw. So West Virginia, you'll have roughly 300 acres per team. Ohio, where I'm running year-round wise eyes, I see the amount of turkeys that I know are there. You have roughly around 150 acres apiece. And when you come in and you draw your farms, we also, as a wild card, we like to give certain public land in our area just in case, okay, you had two birds, you shot one, spooked one, and you don't hear another bird. Well, you're not out of it because you still have an option to go use this 4,000 acres of public right here close to you if you wanted to.
Yeah, so it's kind of a double-edged sword there. Yep. More opportunity.
Yep. Keeps you in the game the entire competition.
Well, all of us have had phases in our life on our own. I first started turkey hunting. I didn't have a great big area to hunt. You know, you might work one or two gobblers in there. When that's over, you're kind of down and out.
Yep.
But you got a cure for that.
Yes, sir.
Well, man, it just sounds like a tremendous, tremendous program. And you're into this will be your third
We just entered our third full season, so this will be our fourth year, I guess, in business.
Wow.
We took this idea because I don't like guiding too many deer hunters. I try to figure out quality over quantity. So how can I take this concept and put it in a deer hunt? We are actually doing a 15-team, two-man, $100,000 to win deer hunt this fall on farms that has not been touched, that is managed, fed. We are a bait state, set up, planted. And when your team comes in, they draw a farm that they get to hunt in the prime time from October 30th to November 8th, DIY or use our stands, and it's going to pay $100,000 for first place team. Mm-hmm. And NASCAR driver Ryan Newman and NFL Hall of Famer Bill Moss is our first team that officially entered because we haven't even went public with it yet.
Well, you got a good start.
Yep.
Wow. That's just incredible. And I assume you get to keep your deer meat too.
Oh, it goes out as quick as we get it in because we'll cook it on the smoker and it don't make it to the next day.
Oh, my goodness. Sounds like a perfect place to be. Well, you mentioned early on, we were talking before we actually started the podcast, you've got first-class whitetails of Ohio, and you don't like to consider yourself an outfitter. What's that all about?
So I have a deep passion for managing land, growing giant whitetails, improving turkey habitat, and having a hunting camp. What I have realized trying to run it like an outfitter, you get a lot of people with unrealistic expectations, and sometimes you get people that's just not fun to be around for a week. So I'm trying to adapt my whole business into how can I still make what I need to make and do what I need to do and still have the ability to afford to keep 6,000 acres to manage in Ohio. So I don't want to be an outfitter, but I want to be a land management that everyone knows, a private place you can go hunt, and I can bring in the people I want, hold these competitions, and not have to run, you know, as many people as an outfitter does.
Well, it sounds to me like you've almost got an old-fashioned deer camp going on.
That's exactly what we're shooting for.
Hey, that is greatest atmosphere in the world when you get a deer camp, turkey camp. I've done squirrel camps at times, but anytime you can get a group of like-minded people who are passionate about what they do, and you can get together and spend, you know, 4 or 5 days or a week together, it's nothing but good times.
And then after that, you're not a campmate. I mean, you're a brother. You're someone that we talk to year-round, that we go visit them. They come up in the summer and help and look, and, you know, it turns into that long-lasting relationship and bonding that you want with people.
Exactly. And as you stated, hey, when we kill that first deer, kill that first turkey, biggest part of us are hooked for life. And, you know, I'm 76 years old, man, and I've hunted all my life. And I think hunting and enjoying the outdoor has made my life shorter. It sure went by in a hurry.
But you got a lot of memories that you're going to take on with you.
Thousands of photographs. I've written over 6,000 articles in my lifetime. I've thumb back through those sometimes. Of course, a lot of the older gentlemen I hunted with, they've gone on to their great rewards, you know, but I still have those lasting memories that will, hey, be with me to my last breath.
Absolutely.
I feel like I've just found a new friend here, and I appreciate what you're doing. I think it's a tremendous opportunity for people, hey, to travel from their state to a new state, meet with you know, hunters from quite a few other states, and you know the brain picking that goes on when you're in a camp like that, and you can cut light years off the learning curve when it comes to deer or turkey hunting just by hanging out with the right people.
And that's what I might envision is when I do this, is I build people that say I'm never going to miss that camp because I want to see my friend from Missouri that I haven't seen since last turkey season or last deer season, that there's no way I'm going to miss come seeing Bill this fall or this spring. And, you know, you build that relationship that I ain't giving my spot up. You're going to have to wait in line until the good Lord takes me.
Yeah, exactly, man. And we got coming up in Missouri, we have 4 trout parks in the state. It's just daily stock, put and take thing, you know. But some of these little parks will have 2,000 or 3,000 people show up on opening day of trout season. And some of them literally come. There was a lady down at Montauk a year or two ago. She had been to every opening day for 51 years. Can you imagine the people that she knew? She was a celebrity, you know, grandma.
Yep.
And, but that's what it's all about in the outdoor industry. Well, Kenny, to kind of wrap it up for us here, what do you think about this 50th anniversary of the National Wild Turkey Federation Convention?
Well, we've had a booth here the last 3 years, and it's so busy that I felt like it's easier for us to walk around and meet people like you and talk to people than it was sitting in a booth. So this year we decided to just come down here and walk and enjoy it and not be stuck to our booth this year. So it's
having a good time.
There's definitely a lot of stuff to see in here.
Well, are you going to be here over Valentine's Day?
No, we've got some other plans. We're going to the mountains.
That don't sound like bad plans either.
Yep. So if anyone's interested in looking at what we're doing, we're big on our social media on Facebook. Look us up, First Class Whitetails of Ohio. We have a website. We're trying to update it because I, you know, got to pay a guy to kind of do that stuff. But 1CWOhio.com. And, yeah, I'd like to – you can see a lot of video from our last year's competition. We had a guy, Big Country, came in and filmed it, and we put a lot of short reels together, and we're getting ready to release the whole episode. So you can see a lot of the kills. I had a lot of guys do a self-filming for us, a lot of interviews, a lot of the scoring and food, and a lot of the celebrations, a lot of two teams hugging and high-fiving after killing some birds.
Well, sounds like a great big turkey hunting party.
Yep, it sure is.
Well, Kenny, I appreciate so much for you being on the program with us. And folks, from Kenny Justin, myself, Bill Cooper, we're living our outdoor dreams. We encourage you to get into the outdoors and live your dreams as well.
People love a good mustache. People also love a good firearm. The fine people down at Pond Center like both. They have the largest selections of firearms in the area, and with a friendly, knowledgeable staff of hombres to help you pick the gun that's right for you, you could end up riding into the sunset with a gun you love. Find them at pc72guns.com, on shelf, in store, online, or give them a call at 573-426-GUNS. That's Pond Center. Guns welcome. Mustache appreciated.
Captain Brian Wilson runs one of the tightest bow fishing operations in the business. Stainwater Bow Fishing operates out of Jerome, Missouri, and the beautiful Missouri Ozarks. They cover most Ozark streams and lakes. You haven't lived until you've searched Ozark waters during the night with Stainwater Bow Fishing while looking for giant gar, carp, and buffalo. Captain Wilson also runs a second boat on Taneycomo Lake. Call today to book a trip with Stainwater Bow Fishing at 573-263-8016. Again, that's 573-263-8016. Be sure and shoot straight.
The Living the Dream Outdoors podcast is brought to you by Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, the Fly Rod Journals, SmokerBuilder.com, Cowtown USA, Westover Farms, Scenic Rivers Taxidermy, Stained Water Bow Fishing, Scenic Rivers Guide Service and Tours, Huzzah Valley Resort, Devil's Backbone Outfitters, J&J Charters, Kaufman Cove, Alaska, Bean Creek Game Calls, Misty Mountain Guide Service, ASO Guides and Outfitters with Ryan Walker, The Rambling Angler, and Rich's Famous Burgers.
Land ownership is the American dream. Land is the basis of all life. Our wise use of this most precious of resources ensures the survival and growth of free institutions and our American way of life. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we value the traditions and freedoms that land provides us. Every day we seek the solace of a mountain sunrise over traffic jams and smog, the calming silence of a bubbling stream over the sirens of the city, and the quiet of the countryside over the hustle and bustle of the world. We hunt, we fish, we farm. We live off the land. It's our mission to help our clients live out their dreams on the land as we do. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we believe that it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. Join us 5 days a week on Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast as the Living the Dream Outdoor Dream Team explores the most desired outdoor properties in the Midwest and whisks you away to incredible hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation opportunities. Host Bill Cooper, an inductee of the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, will be joined by members of the Living the Dream Outdoors team each week as they tell tall tales, unveil tips and tactics, and rub elbows with some of the biggest names in the outdoor world. You'll also find the Living the Dream Outdoors podcast on your favorite social media platforms, including Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.